Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
I'm supposed to call you Very Reverend Bogacki. We've been pressed to discuss this.
I'm a dean.
So you are very reverend, I'm not. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's a temporary title.
I have a Latin question, though.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think reverend means?
I don't know exactly. I've lost a little bit of the Latin.
It's my nerdiness, but and the termination ND in Latin means that you must whatever comes before.
Hmm.
So revere, the person who is to be revered, must revere that person.
Oh,
so do you think you are a person to be revered?
Not at all.
So that's what the title means.
You know,
Reverend Father.
I get uncomfortable with titles, though, because, of course, we're servants. You know, all people are, and especially priests as well. But some people are interested in this.
I have a question for you. I'm the Vice Chancellor. Why am I not very reverend if I'm the Vice Chancellor?
I know. It's a very good question.
Oh,
I thought that came with that role.
No, it doesn't.
Why don't you just give it to yourself?
I don't know. Because I'm not very reverend at all. I prefer not to lie. So here we are again, Two Guys and a Gospel, Father Ricardo Martin, one of the guys, pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And Father Philip Bogacki, I'm the pastor at Christ King Parish and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And we have before us, you know, part of the podcast, I think it's good to devote some time to this, still Sermon on the Mount, but a longer reading.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to Mass this weekend, there may be a choice for the shorter version of the gospel. Today, we're going to do the longer one.
I think it would be a bad choice to go to the shorter one because you would be missing a lot. And we already missed the actual Beatitudes to start with this cycle, with this series of gospels about the Sermon on the Mount. So I would suggest that we should actually read the long one, as we are doing today.
So this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, Leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one.
It's a great gospel, especially this end, let your yes be yes. I think what's happening here is that probably Jesus had the reputation of being a liberal in terms of laws and rules and everything. He's been criticizing the Pharisees and against the Sabbath and everything. And what he's saying is the contrary, because when you are a person of the rules and you abide by the rules, you only do what the rule tells you. Whereas Jesus is saying, this is much more. I'm asking you much more than just a simple rule. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. And he gives you plenty of examples here that the rule is not to kill, but he's saying, but if you start by not loving your neighbor, that's how you, much more demanding, which is the contrary of what we normally think.
What's so beautiful is when someone, at least in my life, they're few and far between, but when someone is able to get right to the heart of the matter, whatever it is, to really kind of sort through a lot of things and to communicate very clearly, and it's just such a blessing. They're people with good judgment, I find, and then can communicate something so clearly. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, all right, the Jewish laws that you're all very familiar with, and maybe you take them for granted or you live them or whatever your relationship, here Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. And you not only follow them, but you go deeper. Here's the reason for it. And here's how you really interiorize it in a new and a fresh way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an opposition to the law, but going much deeper. And so Jesus gets really to the heart of the matter here in a very succinct way.
One way to look at this also is to remember that there is a parallel here. So Moses spends 40 days in the desert, the same way that Jesus goes up the mountain and comes back with the commandments, which is the law that Jesus is referring to. Jesus goes up the mountain and comes down with the Beatitudes, which are more than just dry laws. It's much more, you know, it's asking you much more demanding, even though it sounds the opposite. And it's very interesting to me how we are Catholics of the commandments, which we should be, but then we should be Catholics of the Beatitudes also, much, much more important, much more deeper meaning, deeper transformation. And you see it in confession, how many people still come with the commandments, or we use the commandments many times as an examination of conscience for people. The commandments are very basic. The commandments are for a people that were shepherds wandering in the desert. You know what I mean? It's Jesus that brings a modern understanding of law that goes much beyond just the dry letter of the law.
But I think we're going to be careful not to have, this is where I disagree a bit, in that, you know, there shouldn't be a sense of opposition.
Oh, no, it's not. And I was careful to say, of course, we have to embrace the commandments. But imagine this, you go to confession and you begin, okay, let's do the first one. The second one. Oh, I haven't killed anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Right, right.
It's a good beginning. I mean, thanks goodness, but you know what I mean.
So I think another perspective, too, is as we look at our practice of religion, in particular ritual, there's a really insightful reality that Jesus brings out in that relationship between the exterior and the interior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the outside of a house and the inside of a house might be two very different things. And it's the same thing that we can do things that on the exterior seem to be fine, but our interior disposition is completely wrong. I think about that in particular with postures. You know, sometimes we can get into fights about postures as we pray, as we celebrate the Mass.
And, you do?
At times, I don't engage in that. But people have thoughts and opinions about this. And the reality is our reverence to God isn't necessarily connected to standing, sitting, or kneeling. You know, it's hopefully those two things go together. And then I'd also connect with what you said. So following the commandment in a technical sense is not necessarily related to a purity of heart that's mm-hmm. behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do the right things for the right reasons and let the chips fall where they may. It's a great way to live life. And that's kind of what I think Jesus is saying here, too. But we've always got to think about interior and exterior, and hopefully they're in harmony, but they're not always in life.
Jesus, I think, was also referring to when a problem happens, when a sin happens, that there was something before that. There is a process that takes us to the actual sin. I think Jesus is saying, be attentive to that, to the near occasion of sin that we speak about in very traditional moral theology, right? And you are the theologian here. I think he's saying that the minute you are already thinking about another woman, you are being unfaithful to your wife, you are being unfaithful to your husband, not when you do the act of being unfaithful, but way before that. So I think that's a very interesting point.
Isn't it interesting how in really, I think, critical encounters in life, generally in a situation of stress or a negative encounter with someone, when you really kind of sit back and think about it, the issue that's in front of you is not the real issue,
mm-hmm.
you know? So someone who may come across as disrespectful or angry towards you, the real issue is something usually deeper going on in their
life. The issue is not the issue. It's one of somebody very close to me professionally, and mm-hmm. she always says that.
And I've heard that professionally as well, mm-hmm. and have to think about it as well. Or sometimes the first question is not the real question
mm-hmm.
When it's a big question. Yeah. So again, that relationship between kind of what presents itself on the surface in terms of a commandment or a law or our action, and then what's behind that, there could be something else there. And you know, we talk about kind of a holistic care of the person or, you know, holistic interest in the person. This is what Jesus is talking about. You know, he was on top of that well before. That was part of our lives now.
And it's not an easy concept, even though it sounds like it, because Jesus uses many examples. The example of making peace with someone before you go to the altar, the example of beginning to think about adultery, divorce. There are many, many examples in this long gospel, because it's not an easy concept. One way to look at what I was trying to say before, the commandments are don'ts, prohibitions, whereas the Beatitudes are invitation to work for the poor, to be about peace, to be peacemakers. So it's just to go from children whom you say, don't do this, to an adult that you say in faith, that you say, do this, do work for justice, work for peace. It's a whole different universe. It doesn't mean that they're opposed. It's that the commandments are so basic that Jesus is saying, let's build upon them. Of course, Jesus is not telling us to lie or to covet our neighbor's wife, obviously, but it's telling us, come on, people, build on that.
So there's also a deeper truth that's present here that's not explicitly stated, but you know, you've got to appreciate, because it's early in the gospel. We'll see it later in the gospels. But Jesus is speaking with authority here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's speaking of as God's son, even if that's not listed in this particular passage. And that's really revolutionary to see these laws of God. I'm going to tell you more. You know, I'm going to tell you what's behind that. And of course, that's what's going to cause be a source of tension and a real issue for Jesus later on.
I think we said enough.
We've said a lot. We
yeah.
have. We've said a lot to pray on as we get close to Sunday and what we'll choose to focus in on. As we both agree, we're going to pick one thing rather than everything.
Very good.
So see you next week.
See you next week, Philip.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.